Well, let's turn over. I want to just look at a scripture that we looked at on Sunday, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're talking about the power of God and having faith in the power of God. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, a familiar scripture. It says, for the preaching of the cross is what? To them that do what? Perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. That word power is the explosive, dunamis power of God. That's what that means. So the preaching of the cross, or you could say the gospel, is the power of God. We know in Romans 1:16, what does it say? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What does it say also? To the Jew first, and then to what? To the Greek. Also to the Greek. So this, you can see here that there is a connection between the gospel and what? The power of God. We can see a connection here between the Word of God or the gospel and the power of God. And so everything God made was what? By His power, through the agency of the Word that He spoke. So He spoke and it was. Let me just read a few scriptures. You don't need to turn there. Jeremiah 10, verse 12, it says, He hath made the earth by His power. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of what? His power. That's dunamis power. He's upholding all things by the word of His power. Hallelujah. So when you think about this, you know, you run into somebody and they think or they say that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness, then you know something. What? You know that they're what? Perishing. You know that. Because it says, to those that perish, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is what? The power of God. So that's a key thing. When you run into somebody and they think this is crazy, foolishness, you know that they're perishing. They don't see the gospel at this point. And we know from Scripture in 2 Peter 3 that God is not willing what? That any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when somebody doesn't see it and they're perishing, you know it's not God's will that they perish. Now let's go over, let's continue. We're in verse 18. Let's look at verse 19 in 1 Corinthians. It says, For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, that's still prevalent today, isn't it? There are folks looking for a sign, and there's some looking for wisdom, you know, knowledge and understanding. There's folks still like that today, right? That things haven't changed. But we preach what? So he differentiates here, right? He said, some are looking for a sign, some are looking for wisdom, but we preach what? Christ, crucified, both what? Crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, what? Foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and what? The wisdom of God. So he is what? Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye, where? In Christ Jesus, who of God made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now let's jump down to chapter 2. Just go to verse 1 here, and it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech and of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power." Let's say that. See this here? It was what? What was his preaching? It was what? It says it wasn't with men's wisdom, but with what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So our faith should not be in man, but in what? The power of God. Hallelujah. So you can see here that a couple of things to note here. Just jump over to Hebrews chapter 6 for a minute. Just something to think about here. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 4 and 5, it's talking about those that have tasted of something here, right? But the point I'm making, not on the negative side here, or the side of somebody missing it, but this says here, in verse 4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have what? Tasted. See, we should taste. See, this is saying here, tasted of the heavenly gift. You know, when you read it, what does it talk about? Those that have received salvation receive this heavenly gift. Who's he talking about? The Holy Ghost. It's talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is what he's talking about here. Tasting of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have what? Tasted of what? The good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So all of us here, this is why I say our trust should not be in men's wisdom, but in what? The power of God and the word of God. We should taste of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. It shouldn't just be for a few. It should be for all of us that taste of that. Right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's talking about the power of God here. And we're going to look at where that power is. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 19 and 20. It says, but I will come, this King James, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. This is Paul speaking. And will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but what? The power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let me read this from the New Living Translation. It says, but I will come, and soon, if the Lord lets me. And then I will find out whether these arrogant people just give pretentious speeches or whether they really have God's power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. So this is what he's saying here. This is the kingdom of God is not just talk or words, it's power. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Let me get there. These pages are sticking. I'm sorry, first, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Wonder why I didn't read right. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in what? In word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Listen to the Passion Translation. It says, for our gospel came to you not merely in the form of words, but in mighty power, infused with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. This is what we're talking about when we go back over a few lessons back when we were talking about in Ephesians chapter 3, being strengthened with might or power by his Spirit in our inner man. This is similar. This is saying that he came not in the form of words, but in what? Mighty power, infused with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And look at verse 18. It says, for I dare not to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Listen to the New Living Translation. It says, yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. So they were convinced, what? Just not by words, but by the mighty signs and wonders and by the power of God. Now let's look over at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Another familiar scripture verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and what? And in the power of his might. Let me read some translations here that will help here. The Good News Translation says, "Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power." The New International, it says, "Let the Lord make you strong. Depend on his mighty power." The Amplified, it says, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which is his boundless might, which his boundless might provides." And I like this. This is the Passion Translation. It says, "Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you." Well, I like that. That's a lot, but it begins to point to his power, but where? In us and working through us. He said, "Be supernaturally infused." This is Ephesians 6:10 in the Passion Translation. "Infused with strength," or you could say power, "through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you." That's what dunamis power is. It's explosive power. That's what that word really means. Now, let me read this. Now, in the King James, it says, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord." Now, I'm going to just read something from Rick Renner in Sparkling Gems 1. It's an entry from January 12th. It's just a little excerpt, but he gives some enlightenment in this Greek word, strong, which I think is helpful. He said this Greek word, well, I'm not reading it yet, but he said this particular Greek word is a compound of two words. It's en dunameo, or so it's endunamoo. Big word, right? Pastor Percy used to say, big word. But he said, this is what he said. The word, it's a compound of two words. The word en, that's one word, and the other word is dunamas, or this is dunamoo, but it's really the word dunamis. So it's the compound of those two words. This is what he said. The word en means in. It means in something. He said the word dunamis means what? Explosive strength, ability, and power. He said this is where we get the word dynamite from. So this is what he said here in his excerpts. He said the word endunameo presents the picture of an explosive power that is being deposited into some type of container, vessel, or other form of receptacle. We are specially designed by God to be receptacles of his divine power. Oh, yes. He said, when Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord, he is essentially saying, receive a supernatural strengthening internal deposit of power in your inner man. He's saying, be strong. Receive this supernatural strengthening in your inner man. And he said, God is the giver, and we are the receptacles into which this power is to be deposited. So the point of this lesson here is to point out that the power is deposited where? In us. When he said, be strong, he said, endunameo. He said, in you. That word, en, at the front of that word means to be deposited in you. Be strong in the Lord. And what? And in the power of his might. So what he continues to write, just his point, is that God knew that we would need his supernatural power to combat the attacks of the devil that he would be brought against us. So he knew, God knew, that we were going to need his supernatural power to combat the devil in life from the attacks that come against us. And he said, we are the receptacles or the containers that God created to possess his power. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. Ephesians chapter 3, let's look at this here. We're in chapter 6, but just back up and let's look at focusing on where the power is, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, now, I'm reading from the King James. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? According to the power that worketh in us. How's he going to do that? How's he going to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? It's according to the power that worketh in us. His power working in us. Let me read a few translations. The New Living Translation says, now all glory to God who was able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. How is he going to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think? We can think of some great things, but this is infinitely more than we can ask or think. He can do exceedingly above that according to the power that works in us. The Amplified. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work in us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above, all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes or dreams. This helped me probably the better of all of the scriptures I've read here. The Passion Translation, Ephesians 3:20. This was good here. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. That's the key right there. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. It's great to say the power's in me, but you're not. What does it say? Never doubt it. Never doubt the mighty power of God that's at work in you to accomplish this. So if he's in us, then the power of God is in us. Hallelujah. Here's a thought to consider when we read this scripture. When it says, now to him that is able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think according to the power that's at work in us, then why would we want to have, if there's more power at work in us, then there's more that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? According to the power that's at work in us. So if there's more power at work in us, then he can do exceedingly abundantly above more. Right? Now think about it this way. If the power is less at work at you, then he's going to do less exceedingly above all that you ask or think. Right? So it's important that we never doubt the power of God. God is looking for people who will take him at his word and believe not only that his word is working in me, but that his power is working in and through me. See, that's what Paul did. He said, I came with what? With fear and trembling. And he said, but I didn't come with my own ability, my speech, my wisdom. I came with the power of God and his wisdom, right? So whenever we go anywhere, we go what? We're not going in our own strength or ability. Don't lean to it. You lean to his ability, his power, and when you do, he will do what? Exceedingly above all that you ask or think. He can begin to accomplish more through you because you're believing him to work through you, and you begin to say it. You begin to, what is 2 Corinthians 4:13 says? We who have believed, we also speak. So I've got to believe the word. Never doubt the word. Never doubt that the power of God. What did that say? It says, never doubt God's mighty power. This is a Passion Translation. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. So that means whatever God's called you to do, to set your hands to, never doubt the power of God to work in you to do what? To do it. To accomplish it. That's what he's called each one of us. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 12? There's many members made up in the body to do what? Accomplish his will, do his work. We all have a different part to play, different places to go, do different things. But it's going to take the power of God to accomplish it. It's going to take his strength to do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's take a look again. let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look, people get tired in doing the work of God. People get weary in well-doing. But the Lord said, don't be weary in well-doing. He said, you shall reap if you what? Faint not. That's Galatians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is what I like right here. But we have what? This treasure in what? In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, this is the dunamis power of God, may be of God and not of us. This is what Paul is talking about here, to the church of Corinth. Listen to some of these translations. Amplified talks about the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be of God and not from ourselves. In the Passion Translation, it says, the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's and not ours. So this is what Paul is saying, that this inner strength that he gives us, this power, this dunamis power that comes into our spirits to do something, that it be seen to be of God and not us. You know, I think about something, you know, sometimes we think it's just the pastor, the minister, you know, somebody who's called to do something of God is given this inner power to do something. Wrong. I remember when I first started, you know, I came out of corporate America and, you know, working in the media department for 20 plus years, you know, when I first came here, I remember there was a season that we went through. And when I came out, I used to do programming, software programming. So when we came here, when I came here to start, we didn't have computers. This is a while back now. I'm giving my age away. But we didn't have any computers when I first came here, and I came out of corporate America. We had mainframes. We had big corporate data center. We came here. We had no computers. And I'm thinking, Jesus, what's going on here? So it was a little shock to my nervous system, you know. So I'm looking for a computer. There wasn't any. So anyways, we finally got on board. This is a while back, and we got some computers. And so, you know, you're helping people along because I developed databases and those kind of things, right? So, and different kinds of online systems. And so, anyways, we started developing some things. And so I just had a nudge. I knew it was the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm running audio and media, doing these kind of things here during the day, like what Josh is doing, all this running sound and doing the radio broadcasts and things. But then I had this urge to start writing some databases here just to help get some things up and going. And there was this, when I look back, it was this supernatural energy. I'm telling you, it was like all of a sudden there was this switch that went on in my brain and here. It was supernatural energy. I'm working all day. I'm to tell you, I would work here, do my normal job, and then I'd start coding, and I'd code here until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Just going. And it was like, and the things were just clicking. I was thinking. It was just supernatural. And I knew it. And I flowed in it, and I yielded to it. And I'd go home, get a couple hours sleep, take a shower, and come back in here. And I felt like I wasn't tired. Not even a blink of tired. And after 3 months, it lifted. And boy, I didn't try doing it because, boy, when I got at the end of the day, I was like, boom. The energy wasn't there. It was, as they say, beat at the end of the day. So I understand there can be seasons that we go through, even doing some of the productions when Pastor Clinton was alive. I remember pulling some of these productions together on the audio side, working 2 days straight with no sleep, up in that sound booth, pulling it all together, and just literally having supernatural energy. And when it was over, when that production was over, it lifted. So God's supernatural energy, and I'm just talking about something that flowed in me for a short period of time, a couple of months, to do something that God had put in Pastor Clinton's heart to do, something the ministry needed at that point. And so we can operate as people just in the ministry doing work with what? Supernatural energy. And I didn't look for it. I just stepped out. There was an unction to do it. As I stepped into doing it, the power was there. The power was there to do it. I didn't wait for it. I just stepped into doing it. You understand? I'm just giving you a life experience here. So that it was, and this is what the NIV says. It says, an all-surpassing power. That's what I felt. I mean, I'm telling you. I lived it a couple times, not to those two times. There were a few other times where his power came in and it literally affected and influenced my thinking, my strength, everything. But don't try doing it on your own because you won't, it won't work. And here's the other thing. You know how they say, how do you know when you're in love? You'll know. You'll know. How do you know when it's the power of God? You'll know. You'll know when that supernatural power energizes you to do something because you're like, I ain't doing this. This is easy. This is easy. He'll make it so that you will flow in this and it'll be easy. See, a lot of times we're looking for the power of God to get us over something that's, you know, maybe a problem or a disaster in our life. And he does. But I'm talking about just everyday living and things that God has assigned us to do. There's power available to do it. His power. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. So let's take one other look here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2. Galatians 2:20, it says, I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. Who lives in me? Christ lives in me. So if Christ lives in me, then his anointing is in me. Or you could say his power is in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he lives in me. His power is in me. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 27. Read from the King James, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Verse 29, whereunto I also what? Labor, striving according to what? His working, which worketh in me mightily. That word mightily is dunamis. It's the power of God. Listen to this in the Amplified. It says, for this I labor. This is verse 29 in Colossians 1:29, Amplified. For this I labor unto weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. That's how I felt like I had those seasons. I had superhuman energy. I'm not kidding. I just flowed in it. My thinking was just, and it wasn't because of some Colombian coffee I had. And I like Colombian coffee, but I'm just telling you, I don't drink it anymore, but I'm telling you, it wasn't that. It was his supernatural overflowing energy working in me mightily. I'm serious. It's wonderful when it's there. But I'll tell you, but boy, when it's not, you'll know it. Boy, you'll know it. Let's go to Romans 8:10. Talking about the power being in us or Christ being in us. Romans chapter 8. We can finish with this scripture. We're talking about the power of God and the power of God being in us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 10 and 11, it says, and if Christ be where? In you. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. I'm reading from the King James. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This word Spirit, you know, the translators capitalized it and the way it was translated. Let me read it from the God's Word translation. I think this presents it probably better. It says, however, if Christ lives in you, your bodies are dead because of sin, but your spirits are alive because you have God's approval, meaning because of righteousness. Your spirit is alive with what? His supernatural power and energy. Because of righteousness. Right? So the Spirit of God lives in us because of righteousness. But not only does he live in us, he empowers us with his power to do the things that God has assigned us and called us to do. We need not struggle through this. Struggle in the things that God has assigned us to do. And so, I'm excited about the more that we meditate upon faith in the power. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we hear about the power of God, the more we focus on it. Here's the thing that we need. Brother Hagin used to say this: we need to be more God inside minded. So the more you're God inside minded, then you're more about his anointing, his power. That's where? Inside me. So when we get into a jam, we need to be looking where? On the inside. God, you're in me. You're powerful. You're giving me the power, the strength, the ability to put me over in this, to strengthen me with your might to do this. I can't do this in my own strength. That's what Paul used to say. Think about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. He was shown before even, you know, as he was when he came to Christ, God showed him the things he would suffer. But boy, after all of that, what did he do? He's like, I've had enough. 2 Corinthians 12, what did God say? He said, Lord, take this away from me. I can't do this. And Lord, what did he say? My grace is sufficient, for my strength, my power is made perfect in what? Weakness. So when we are weak, we look to his strength, look to his ability, his power. That's what? At work in us. But you got to believe it. That's what it says. Never doubt. I like that in the Passion Translation. Never doubt God's power that's at work in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hope you got a little something about this. We're talking about what? The power of God. And I'll probably continue Sunday, just expand this a little more. And we'll see what God wants to do. Amen. But I'm excited about this. This is the difference that makes Christianity what it is. It's a relationship. What is the scripture say in John 15? That the branch can do nothing of itself. It has to be connected in the vine, connected to the vine. Then we'll bring forth fruit. So it's this union that we have with Christ that empowers us with his power, his strength, his wisdom. Glory to God.